Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down season 3, episode 18, chapter 53, Jawbreaker. Archie fights for his life, Alice is trying to get deprogrammed by Betty, and of course our patience is tested. We're going to break it all down next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Riverdale After Show, breaking down every episode of Riverdale airing Wednesday nights on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
Hey, guys, I'm Sam Davidson. So happy to be back with all of you. Full panel here, and I'm in the chat as well.
Woohoo! Yeah. I'm Elena Jordan, also glad to be back.
And I'm Zach Peter, and I wish I were gladder to be back, but this episode was terrible.
Ah! I love it.
Pulling
Zach does
no
not
punches.
Hold it. That's right.
Unlike Archie, am I right? I apologize.
So folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and of course, Sam's got the chat up and running, so hop in. You're already in there sharing thoughts. Sam is loving this right now. She's thumbs-upping everything that she can.
This is like my dinner, you know? I just feed off of your comments.
Ooh. It's like a big, juicy steak.
Yes.
Like a bear with a red head in the forest. Sam just feeds off of your comments.
That's right.
Very true.
We're going to break down this episode. We'll also do our class valedictorian and class clown and, oh, so much more. Oh,
so many clowns tonight. Jesus.
But before we get through the episode in detail, let's just get an overall thought from everybody.
Start?
Please, Sam.
It was a bit of hot garbage for me personally. Roberto, if you ever watch, you know, who knows? We never know if he watches because he does all this stuff. I did not like it. There was not a lot of continuity. I didn't like where it took the characters, was all over the place. And for a return after we've missed it for so long, I was expecting more. And I feel like my voice just cracked because I was about to cry because I'm so disappointed.
Oh, my.
Yes. I did see Luke Perrin then got a little sad,
too,
and wasn't really prepared. He's just, like, sprinkled in, like, at this point. They just have him pop up, and it just...
Do you think they cut him out at all to make it...
Yeah, I think they definitely cut him out.
No way you would not cut
No, I don't
Luke
think so. I don't think so at all.
Well, if there was, like, a longer arc for his character that they now have to take out...
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is what happened. I think that's why we only get we don't get real dialogue from him anymore.
I think they just didn't write him in very much this season. I think they were planning on doing a bigger arc, like, later.
Back to what you thought of the episode, Elena.
Anyway,
sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I felt like... I didn't think it was, like, baby teeth level painful. Like, y'all are, like, acting like you've had your own teeth pulled out and marks on your back and...
Mm-hmm. I do.
Gouges and whatnot. It's not that bad, but it was... I thought that it did leave a little something to be desired. I felt like overall plot points could have probably been expedited a little bit. I felt like they were dragged out a little longer than they necessarily should have been.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like the Cheryl-Tony-Betty dynamic could have been done very quickly. I didn't think that that needed to be like, oh, big reveal. Because it didn't seem like it landed quite as much as it... And the jelly bean thing I thought was more like that, actually. I was like, oh, dang. Like, then I sat up and took notice. So I felt like if they would have maybe made that more of a zing, so at the very end of the episode, it really, really hits hard. I don't know.
Okay.
Zach, let us know how you really feel.
I mean, to refer to your comment about the teeth, I feel like I need a whole bunch of new dentures right now. My teeth were ripped out. This was not a fun episode. What it is they keep dragging out the same storylines, like the Fizzle Rocks. I'm tired about Fizzle Rocks. Like, give me a new drug. Like, give me some cocaine. Give me, like, something that's just, like, a fresh take on Riverdale. They won't call it cocaine. They'll call it Pepsi.
They'll call it Pepsi-Aid.
But I just, like, I agree. I think if they would have, like, I didn't even realize it was Jelly Bean when she was playing at Pops. Like, I just, that whole piece of the episode I thought could have really hit a lot harder, whereas I think that it didn't, and we went on this, like, you know, drug chase again, and I, like, give me the, close the story with the farm, and, like, give me the closure of the gargoyle story, and, like, let's move this thing on.
I think the farm, this is just the beginning of the farm, and also I just gotta give a quick shout out to an amazing fan in the chat right here. His name is Ben Bateman, and he said, you look very good in your seat, Frank.
No. Captain, my captain. A pale imitation of your greatness.
He is here. I mean, it's like how, what's his name is coming back, Cheryl's brother. Why am I having a
Jason.
Brain? Jason is back. Ben is back, and he is in the chat. Mm. Is
that Jason? It's yes. Bateman.
Is that how, you know, the farm is doing things? It's just, no, I saw him in the chat. It's fine.
That's sure. exactly what they did. They have a YouTube chat with the dead, exactly. And that's how the farm... So.
Nice to see you again, Ben. We love you.
That's how we bring in our fans.
There you go.
We're like, I will say though, like, for somebody who loves Sabrina so much and the supernatural aspect in the Archie comics, especially like the Red Circle comics and the when they go to like the Red Circle sorcery, and then some of the ones like the Madhouse comic, which was when Sabrina actually is the one who starts the zombie apocalypse in Riverdale by accident by Jughead asking if she can bring her dog, his dog Hot Dog, back to life, and then accidentally starts all the zombies. With the cheerleader banging her head in the locker and like freaking out with the Fizzle Rocks, I'm kind of into the Fizzle Rocks because I'm thinking maybe this will be kind of like a zombie apocalypse type thing that I think maybe they alluded to a little bit with saying it was cut with bath salts, which makes people eat each other's faces off, apparently. So, yeah, don't do drugs, kids. Don't eat people's faces off.
Nothing.
But, like, if that's where it's going, like, if they could kind of focus on one of these things and kind of show... Like, if the Fizzle Rocks was shown, like, as an epidemic where it's like, whoa, everybody's freaking out and it looks like the beginning of a zombie movie as kind of an allusion to those comics, I would be even more into it.
It's what I've thought since season one, to be honest, because Archie in the afterlife, all of that, and then we start the whole series with Jason's death. So I always thought we were going there, but let's see where else we go.
Yeah, we're not going to ever go there, guys. I mean, as much as we'd all like to speculate.
Can we bet $20? No.
I'm with Frank.
I would say it would go there when you know the show's going to end. It'll totally jump the shark at that point and then go bonkers at the end. Because, I mean, and I feel like that could happen sooner rather than later because it's already going so bonkers
now. So you
won't
bet me $20.
But the thing is, like, I don't know why I'm defending this episode so sturgently, but I feel like just the bones are there. Like, all of the elements are there. Like, if they had just had at the beginning, if they had had what we had seen before with the emotional family scene, but it's just JP and we see, or I'm sorry, FP and Jughead with Jelly Bean, and it's them like in the house in the morning and they're happy together. And it's this fragment of like, maybe they could be happy if Gladys was out of the picture. And you get that like as a glimpse where it's like, okay, yeah, but we still have hope. We still have this family unit. And then at the end, it's like the Gargoyle King just took the last piece of hope that you had. That last puzzle piece is now missing.
I would agree with that. I feel like Jelly Bean's been such a underutilized character that it's tough for them to, in this episode, like shoehorn that Jeopardy for.
Well, yeah. I feel like transition, someone in the chat, Mercenary X84 said, the farm is taking over everything, maybe even the after show.
All right.
I mean, you know.
Legit.
Okay.
I'm down.
Is that why you're drinking blue juice?
I know. I brought my Gatorade tonight, and I was like, I am so drinking the Kool-Aid this evening. Mm.
Wow. Look at you. You literally are drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Blue juice here, Gatorade.
Well, we start this episode off, though, picking up on the crime scene where we found Baby Teeth. Our poor beloved Baby Teeth.
I hate his name.
Well, you don't have to worry about loving it anymore.
He's gone. They keep saying it. Yes. As soon as he died, baby I was like, at least teeth. We don't have to hear it again. And then this episode, they're like, baby teeth, baby teeth, baby teeth.
What do you think?
Baby teeth, baby teeth, baby teeth.
We never saw a close-up look at his tombstone. What do you think the odds are that the tombstones had baby teeth?
It's just a picture of a tooth.
Well, if you guys didn't know,
because the other ones didn't have dates anyway, since the fake one had no dates. It's just a photo of a tooth, and that's all you need.
That's it.
Tombstones mean actual death. You know, you just take a little break out of that. You're like, oh, they're dead. oh, beautiful, cool. We have affirmation that they are dead, just from a little bit of their tombstone.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, how common is Charles Smith? Like, that was not, anybody could have been Charles Smith at that point. Like, it could have been a real tombstone.
We are all over the place.
I hope it was. I hope she didn't spend money on a fake tombstone.
Oh, wrong tombstone, guys. I digress.
Idiot. Sorry.
I was like, why does everybody look so confused about what I just said?
Let's get back to the top of the episode where we get FP and Jughead breaking down the crime scene. And I will say for this episode, I did like the dynamic between FP and Jughead. Just kind of two crime solvers trying to put their heads together, trying to figure out what the deal is here in Riverdale.
Spinoff material, like five of their other spinoffs where they put all their good writers, possibly?
I mean, that would
it's
be
like
cute.
It's like Psych, but just with like father-son.
Father-son, really hot, you know?
I still can't get over the chief of police asking his teenage son, what do you think about the forensics of this case? Can you help me out?
I mean, it's FP recognizing his shortcomings. He knows, like, you know, I'm not a really smart guy. But I got a son that's pretty smart, so why not bring him in to do some forensic analysis for me? Sure, why not?
Yeah. But it's like, FP can't, like, remember, like, oh, yeah, the other body had blue lips and marks on its back, and, like...
And your lips are purplish blue right now. It's like, what is happening to us?
It's baby
teeth.
That's
why she likes the episode.
Baby teeth.
I fight for baby teeth. I wear my lipstick for baby teeth. It's my tribute.
R.I.P. Yeah.
So we see FP and Jughead. They go spend throughout the course of the episode trying to track down the supplier of this new strain of Fizzle Rocks. G. The G is for gargoyles. Like, thanks, guys. We wouldn't have figured that out otherwise.
Also, rabies. I mean, it just reminded me of rabies a little bit. Anytime I was a big fear person of rabies as a child for no reason, but I was always scared every time I got near a weird animal, rabies. I would foam at the mouth, and then everything I thought could have happened for me at rabies, I saw it on Riverdale tonight.
All right.
Fun fact. Again, for the supernatural, you had rabies. That's why that's a lot of the fun fact. I have rabies. look out, Sam! Your nightmares are coming true.
I totally thought that's where we were going with this.
Vampires originally, the reason that a lot of people thought that vampires existed was because they had rabies. It was like a big thing about like if you have rabies, it's a hypersexuality. You can't look at yourself in a mirror; you'll freak out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was watching this. Is this supernatural? No, it's just a fizzing at the mouth reaction to some kind of drug.
But I like that, because right now it's like kind of science and supernatural. You don't know which way it's going to go.
Tell us what way it's freaking going.
It's just going the regular way. It's not going supernatural. It gives them the chance, like Elena was saying, you can have your cake and eat it too. It can give you that appearance of supernatural when it's just really, oh no, it's just somebody just tweaked out on drugs.
Just wait till the day it happens.
No.
I want to know, like, who is the actual Gargoyle King at this point?
All right, well, let's jump into that for 1 second.
Supernaturally.
The one thing I don't like about this is I feel like it's Riverdale is repeating itself. Because last season it was the Black Hood's been caught and he's been dealt with.
And then
there's
a dude in a hood. Excuse me.
Sam.
Sam is like passionate about this episode. Whoa.
We see.
Feeling.
Excuse me. We see another guy in a hood and I just think, this is ridiculous. Don't do this to us again.
That's the part that threw you over the edge.
There you go.
Was the man in the hood.
That was it.
I try my best.
Riverdale's getting into it where you think the bad guy's been disposed of, and then they pull it back like, oh no, he's been around the whole time, and now he's back, and he's even madder than ever. Like, and so when they do this episode where, oh, you know what, the real Gargoyle King is back. Oh, and he's really mad. I was like, come on, guys. We're not doing the same beat again.
But it's also like in all of the supernatural, the Afterlife with Archie comics and stuff, the Gargoyle King was one of the supernatural creatures that was in that one. But there was like 12 other ones. Just pick a different one at this point.
Oh, is that what we have ahead of us? All the different ones?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a different one and they're not just like, it's also now the Gargoyle King and the Black Hood are buds because Betty let him out.
Does anybody at this point care who the real Gargoyle King is?
No.
I really don't at this point. And I know I will be extremely underwhelmed by the revelation.
I care 30%. That's how much I care.
Because you think it's got to be somebody we've seen this season so far, at the very least.
If it's just a rando out of nowhere, no. Then I'll just lose it. Because what would even be the point?
I just want it all to be
somebody
connected.
Else with an alliterative name that we've never heard of.
I want it to at least be connected to the Black Hood. I
know.
I do. I'm sorry.
I mean,
the Black
Hood
was another one of the mythical, like the supernatural characters. They all teeter on supernatural. I'm telling you, I think something with the Gargoyle King, it might be more supernatural.
She's on my side.
It won't be.
I think I'm
think it is, but don't
it's going to be a Scooby-Doo moment where we think it is, and then they're like, zoinks, it's actually this guy with a mediocre mask.
So I have a couple people in the chat, External Shockwave 3, they think it's Gladys. I'm not opposed to that.
No, I don't think it's Gladys.
I mean, she wants to take over the business, but I don't think that she's going to be the Gargoyle King.
Yeah, she looks scary enough.
And she's not going to summon
her own daughter.
Yes, agreed, Alina.
Are you serious? People do that all the time in Riverdale.
Steal their own daughter.
Well, I mean, in certain ways, I don't know.
The only way that they would have that work would be to be her saying, okay, well, this isn't working out here, so we're going to leave. And the way that I'm going to play it off, it's going to be like the Gargoyle King took you and then make your dad go crazy.
Maybe it's Elio.
Like, I mean, there's no, like,
Elio would make sense.
What? Elio?
Yeah, just because he's so random. Like, I don't understand this whole, like, fighting thing that we're pushing this season, too.
Can we talk about the mother-daughter relationship that really kills me, which is, you know, Betty and Alice?
Sure, Sam. Sorry. Let's get into that.
I'm sorry. It just bothers me, I just want to talk about it.
Get it off.
All right, Sam. Go ahead.
Messed up. So Alice, essentially, you know, doesn't know if Charles is alive or not, anything. And then Betty puts her in the bunker, which is not cool to kidnap your child. But how many times has Alice kidnapped Betty? Quite a few.
But also, how many times have they cleaned that bunker? Very few. They all bang in that bunker, and they talk about how none of them clean it, and it's gross. You just locked your mom in your banging bunker.
Oh, please. She should be lucky to be in that bunker.
So
not unless she's banging someone.
So, and then next time she's in there with Jughead, she's like, oh, remember when I locked my mom in here and she burned all my childhood memories? Let's bang.
I'm so sorry.
No, Sam, sorry. It's all right. I mean, so, of course, Betty's been on the pursuit to drag Alice out of the farm. They feel like that she's, you know, she's being programmed to be into a cult. Mm-hmm. And at wit's end, she does kidnap Alice, take her down to the bunker. And I think she Googled how to deprogram somebody and then just said, like, oh, I guess I can chloroform. And I've got a bunker, so I can take them to a safe place. And then I pull out some photo albums. And then that'll be enough. And just say, look at your past and remember. And that was enough to think that she was going to be deprogrammed at that point.
I was mostly just impressed that she had physical photo albums. I'm like, everything is digital now. I mean, I know it's for that dramatic moment of the burning, but yeah. I was like, oh, I just would have been like, here's an iPad. Look at home movies.
Yeah, I don't know what Betty was expecting when she goes to the school the next day and tells Jughead, you know, I'm really making good progress. I mean, to deprogram my mom. Like, really? You talked to her for a hot second, and then you left. What are you thinking?
Yeah, you left her, like, underground in a hidden bunker. Like, it's just, I don't understand what her logic is, or why she even, like, at this point, like, let Alice live her life. Like, Alice seems happy, she has her microphone, she's doing her little thing now.
Oh,
like, she has
no.
lighting, like, she seems to be much better off.
All right, hot 10-second tangent about Alice's live shot. That was so terribly produced.
That was awful. It was not better off.
But, like, she's living her best life.
No.
You know,
no.
Like,
she's living a very mediocre. She's doing very poor work. She's
but she
losing
seems
it. Thinking
happy.
She's seeing her. This is what this whole episode was basically just like, oh, do you have somebody you love in a cult? Leave them in that cult. If you want to be good, just leave them in that cult. They need to heal.
Happy
what is
happy.
This message? What is this message that we're giving out?
At this point, I'm joining the farm.
I'm like, please take my Kool-Aid.
I am joining the farm, Frank. I am joining the, I am sold. I'm subscribe. I want to meet Jason. I want to meet Charles.
So,
this is going to be a hologram.
Can I have conjugal
100%
visit?
They're holograms. And I know this because when Tony's like, have you ever hugged Jason? She was all like, oh, what? Like, this is going to be important later. And then, I feel like, 100%, because he also was like real or illusionary. They're holograms. He's just projecting holograms.
All right, Sam.
The Max 727 says, I was on Betty's side because she just wants her mother back. Plus, Alice got on my nerves, but I would have reacted the same way as Betty. I mean, I wouldn't have, like, threatened you know, people so much as Betty, but I think Betty is always the moral center of this show.
But she just seems so angry.
As like, she should like, be.
She had the girl, what's her name? Against the locker.
Evelyn.
She's like,
threatened to kill Evelyn.
She's like, ask Which, about me.
Evelyn should be scared if those tapes, if literally her mom is like, I'm scared of her, then it's like, Evelyn, back down, little girl. Like,
it's on the tapes. They have copies and copies of those copies.
So, I mean, I definitely see where Sam's saying where, you know, Betty's coming from a place of anger. I mean, she feels like her mom's being sucked away into this cult. And she seems powerless to be able to break their hold.
What about her sister?
She lost all her money. She lost her house.
And her niece.
Polly Schmolly.
She lost all them.
It feels like she cares less about Polly now than she does care about her
mom. Polly was gone a long time ago.
I mean, I guess. But it's like,
Polly came back like a weirdo anyway. I mean, like, at this point, I think she's like, hey, my mom, who can sign the deed to my house and also gave my college fund away, that's the one that you need to be like, while I'm still legally, like, she has to sign off on everything that Betty does.
But it's what, like, about Hal? What is Hal the good parent now?
I mean, Hal's a murderer. He's a serial killer.
I know.
It is tough to buy into anything with Hal, just given the way that they really just disserviced his character last season to me.
Completely.
With what, that weird Hannibal Lecter thing? Yes. Like, yeah, what happened to his whole demeanor? We're like, you're in prison for 3 days, so you turn into Hannibal Lecter, and then, like, never mind, now you're dad again?
I was never a fan of him being the Black Hood. I thought that was just like, what? It made no sense to me at all.
Me too. That's why I want an explanation for everything.
I don't think we're going to get it. I think it's expecting too much of the show to explain something like that.
We can let Hal go. Like, we can let him, like, just not be... Like, I don't understand why we keep forcing... Like he's going to come around. He's going to come around. No, well... But I like Alice, and she's like, hey, from KW, what is she on? That network?
RIVW.
It's Alice. What's her last name?
Cooper.
Cooper. Not anymore. But she changed it.
Yeah,
it's now Ever Never.
Oh, great. It's
Alice Smith, I thought.
No, it's Ever Never. She married Ever Never.
Well, yeah, but she said Alice Smith. Who the... Oh, that must be her maiden name.
Charles is Smith.
Yeah. Anywho, it probably doesn't matter.
But she walked... she's interviewing... Veronica and Archie, and then just walks in front of them, dumped at the camera. Like,
yeah, I was like, what is happening?
That was so terribly poorly
and
done.
And also, like, strong words from a local hero. And I'm like, what? He's just like, I'm going to whoop some ass. Strong words from a local hero. He found a gym. Someone gave him this gym. What a hero.
Big Face Hundreds said, what if Polly is the Gargoyle King? And honestly, I've been saying it since the first season.
What if Polly's twins are the Gargoyle King? They're just standing on each
other's
shoulders.
Polly has always been evil AF, and then she's going to be reunited with Jason. It's the whole thing. I do think it's connected.
Okay, but say that she was. Say at the end of the season, the mask comes off and it's Polly underneath. Would you even care?
No.
Other than like, oh, it's Polly. Wow.
I'd say I said it from the first season.
I would say, like, that's an interesting, like, I'm not surprised, but I'm not necessarily, like, I'm still underwhelmed. Like, if that were the case. Only because it's like, I just don't understand Polly's character, and she, like, seems like a person, but then at the same time, she's, like, farmy brainwashed. And, like, I just don't get her.
It's like, what's her purpose?
What's her purpose, exactly.
Well, the episode ends with, or at least for Betty and Alice's story, where Betty bringing Alice back to meet Evelyn outside of Pops, saying, all right, you know, take care of her, please. And I agree with you, Elena. It seemed, like, weird to have an episode where it's like, yeah, you know, if somebody needs a cult to help them get through some pain in their life, then let them be in that cult.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not on board with whatever the message is of this. Like, no.
Well, maybe she feels confident now that she has Tony on the inside. She's like, okay, Tony can help us out of it. You know, that didn't really work out
so
with Cheryl.
Far, yeah, I'm like, so far you're just feeding the farm a whole bunch of new members. That's all I'm seeing, Betty. Like, you're the farm's best recruit.
Well, I do think that Betty, though, every step we see her take that is more painful and darker for her, we just are going to see dark Betty. And that's kind of what everyone wants to see, because Lily...
But without the wig.
Yes, without the wig. But, like, we know she has the darkness inside of her. So
she's
I think
the Gargoyle King.
No, she's not. But I think we're going to...
That would shock me.
We're going to see her be like, you want to mess with me? Fine. You want me to be a villain? Fine. I will hurt everybody. I will kill you. What was her name?
Evelyn?
Evelyn. I will kill you, Evelyn. And she's not kidding. I will kill this person. And now I'm going to start my own gang.
Well, we've seen with the farm. I mean, we had that one lady that that Betty talked to for a hot second in the bunker and then left before she could tell her really any useful information.
Who then disappeared forever.
So we've had that, and we've also had them
in the bunker
arrange for Alice to donate the sales of her house and her bank account to the farm, and that they sell some kind of they grow some kind of weird mushrooms that they love to give anybody that's hanging out at the farm.
Make some fun with mouth.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, they have some way for you to be able to commune with some close loved ones.
Eat these hallucinogenic mushrooms. Yeah. Watch our Tupac technology from Coachella. We got a good discount on it. It is your loved one.
Beyonce's here too. You know, it's like everyone's here. They could do that.
But I feel like...
But don't hug them.
Sure, what we've seen is shady, but we haven't really seen anything nefarious yet. And I feel like I really want to see something nefarious from the farm. Because otherwise, it's right now, it's like... Yeah, they're kind of a bunch of, you know, shady dudes.
No, they drowned
people. Yeah. Like, part of their, like, to be self-actualized by drowning.
Yeah, that's
the crazy. The Mad 727, who is really on fire tonight. I just realized the farm has been around since season one because Jason was probably going there when him and Polly were running away.
Yeah. That's what they said, is they said they were going to escape that farm.
To the farm, yeah.
Great.
Well, he's there now.
There you go.
And where are the babies?
Well, we don't see Polly, so I'm sure she's off tending to the baby somewhere, or they're just still floating somewhere, you know, around somewhere at all.
They're working. Everybody works at the farm. The babies are out tilling some land.
That's right. So we also see Cheryl get sucked in to the farm as well. We saw that last episode, and we were wondering where Tony was in this whole thing, and now we get to finally see Tony's side of it. Where she's worried about losing somebody that she cares about as well. Mm-hmm. And really, after Evelyn says, hey, you really, you know, you're harsh in Cheryl's farm buzz. You got to, you know, back off. And, of course, Tony tries to say, you know, like, hey, let's just make out. That'll take care of everything. And it doesn't because she's given a choice. Cheryl is. And she chooses Jason and the farm.
Well, this is where I realized the title of this episode, Jawbreaker. If you guys haven't seen that movie, it's one of my personal favorites where they walk down slow-mo down the hallways in the group, and that's what happens when Tony joins the farm.
Instead of a jawbreaker in the throat, it's the
soul,
the freaking matchbook from the whorehouse.
Oh. Yes,
in Baby Teeth. Baby Teeth. Every time I have to say it, I get sad.
Baby Teeth.
They've done that slow. I mean, that's a Riverdale staple by this point. Is the slow mo walk down the hallway?
Walk.
And I feel like. So, Kevin and Fangs, when they get the script for that episode, like, cool, I'm just in a couple scenes walking in slow-mo down the hallway, and Fangs gets a bonus scene over at the Baby T's tombstone.
Yeah. Fangs is just still happy to be alive.
I'm just like, that's what you're giving Kevin to do? That's it? All right, fine.
Kevin, they killed Kevin for us.
They killed Kevin, like, a long time ago.
We can't like Kevin anymore, because Kevin's all pro-farm.
No, and his character wasn't very likable to begin. Like, they kept putting him in these dumb situations where he just wasn't helping himself, and he was just digging deeper holes for himself. So at this point, he can go to the farm, he can stay at the farm, you can just bring back Fangs.
But I think I would have liked the track of that, those shots with Cheryl walking slow-mo through the hallway. If through the course of the episode we saw it multiple times and the group kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. All we saw was just Tony added to that. And so it didn't really seem like, if you want to make it seem like the farm's like, oh my God, they're really taking over everybody.
I'm like, you have pretty poisons. This is what I was thinking. So I was why didn't they be like, oh, okay, well, part of the thing, though, is if Tony's in it, we have this gang now that Cheryl and Tony created, so now they're all a part of it, too. So we have to be really careful because now we have all these other extra pieces on the board. Like, then it would have been more interesting, and all you have to do is just throw a couple extras in white.
Yeah. What I did like, though, is at least we get to see Tony and Betty working together. So a pairing that we don't really get a chance to see interacting with each other. So I'm like, all right, let's see where this goes.
Tony has become my second favorite character, if not my favorite character.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. She has a moral compass and is strong and can go in there kind of undercover because not everyone necessarily knows who she is. I just love her.
She'll do anything for love to save her girlfriend.
Absolutely. To save her lover. And I think that they really have made them a solidified couple, that it will make sense for her to go to any single way to help Cheryl save her.
Well, our other storyline we have this episode is Archie and the boxing. Zach's favorite thing. Cannot get over the boxing. We've got the Gilded Gloves tournament that they hear about, and Archie wants to get a stake in that to help the rest of the guys heal from baby teeth.
Fight for baby teeth, man. We gotta fight for baby teeth.
I didn't understand how everyone was like, I'm gonna fight for him, and this is gonna be in his honor. And I was just like, why do you have to fight in his... Like, give him a funeral. Like,
yeah, and freaking
post on Instagram, like a throwback pic. Like, you know.
I was going to fight to win, but now I'm going to fight to win and for baby teeth. And I was like, so what? Not really much difference than Mad Dog. No. It seems like you're just coming in here bragging that you're in the, like... That's why everyone's like, F off, Mad Dog.
That storyline was... That line, I was like, what? Like,
so
what?
Bad.
Get out of here. Like, everyone hates you now, and I do, too.
I'm just not a big fan of watching I know a lot of people like boxing. I hate it.
But what if they're on a Fizzle Rock Psychosis?
And then the
also
guys...
Also my new band name.
Yeah, Fizzle Rocks, actually, that's the most sense the show has made. Fizzle Rocks fizzing at the mouth. That makes sense now, right?
Go. Yeah.
Fizzle Rock Psychosis.
Yeah.
So Archie, of course, has Veronica help him get in there. And Archie goes... Veronica talks to... Elio at the sauna, the steam bath or whatever, and says, just remember, I tried to play it nice. And then the way to really get at him is just to do this terrible interview with Alice.
Yeah, and then be like, we're going to have our own boxing match. It's different than your boxing match. It's at our place. And it's like, calm down.
The dumbest.
High schooler.
So stupid.
And then on top of that, she's got to sit next to Archie's girlfriend after she was just like, I gave Archie a bunch of new stuff and I almost kissed him and we were super flirty. Let's sit next to each other.
We're talking about Josie?
Yes.
Yes. Who also said... there was a comment that she has so much other stuff going on. It's like, yes, a spinoff.
Yeah.
Which we all know, Katie Keene. Katie
Keene? Yes. But it also, I mean, and even from the promos, we're just like, I had to get out of this town. Like, well, yeah, but Katie Keene takes place in the future. So, you know, whatever.
So
the big fight goes on, and it's going to be Archie going against his old foe that he fought and lost due to a judge's decision.
It's like, we don't care about that. That was a storyline that a lot of us didn't give a crap about, and we were annoyed that Archie wasn't back with his friends. So, really, why do you have to bring it back?
I just love that they took the time to be like, all right, well, Randy gained a little bit of weight, so you better gain a little bit of weight, too, Andrews.
Yep.
Montage of pops.
Yeah, just eating burgers and fries. Like, what?
Like, we don't have time to show an emotional connection with Jelly Bean to make, like, this last moment resonate, but we can watch Archie eat a bunch of burgers.
Oh, so great.
Next, it's going to be Faces. Archie in the afterlife is a zombie.
I will admit, though, the show did go in a direction I wasn't expecting, because when Mad Dog does show up to Archie and say, hey, guess what? I saw Elio slip Randy this Fizzle Rock stuff, and he's taking it.
Rabies drugs.
Yes. So it's like, you should take some as well to help you out. And Archie says, no way, I'm not going to do that. But when he hands it to him, it's like, what you see his eyes, you may want to change your mind. And I thought for sure Archie was going to do it. And I was like, all right.
I thought so too. And then I did like that they were like, no, dude, we should probably call the fight because look at that man. This isn't okay. Yes. And then they're like, you forfeiting then? And it's like, these are established rules. Like, this man is foaming at the mouth.
Yes.
Like, he looks insane. Get him medical attention immediately. Not even for Archie.
I know. Yeah, the fact that ref could not notice all this foam just racing down this guy's face. I'm like, all right, ref. Good
job. You fight the zombie, Andrews.
But you know what? Our boy Archie did it.
He did it. He won.
He's like, I fought a bear!
I'm still waiting for that to come back into play. It's like, just so you know, the bear energy got inside of me. And we might
have
not
talked about it. I just want the bear to come back with a vengeance. The freaking Gargoyle King is actually the bear.
Yes. Oh my god!
What if we just had some CGI and he's the gargoyle and he's like, I mean, honestly, I would be down. I would get up and clap at this point.
If the bear was the Gargoyle King?
Yes, and Archie, I don't even know. Shapeshifting. I watch too many supernatural shows. But there needs to be some explanation because this is freaking ridiculous.
Well, Riverdale's.
I don't think we're going to hear about the bear again. I think it was just like to see him, like, you know, metamorphosis.
He can overcome any obstacle.
I hope Riverdale,
be it zombie or bear,
are listening, watching. Give us a little bit of through, like an ending to the bear, guys. Maybe next season. You know, just listen to us and
of all the storylines to continue to drag on. Like, I would have appreciated a little more of the bear.
So, folks, as we're going to wrap up, we just want to take a quick moment, though, to say thank you so much for helping us become the ESPN of TV Talk. You know, you give us an opportunity to talk about our favorite shows, even if they may frustrate us at points. But we're also asking for some help. So if you could, wherever you're watching, whether it's on YouTube, go ahead and like us there, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on iTunes while you're on a podcast, while you're at the gym or driving around town, when you have an opportunity, go and give us 5 stars and leave a comment. Just get involved in the conversation so Sam can enjoy these great comments later as she goes over and watches this Riverdale episode again. An excruciating detour, like the Zapruder tapes, just breaking it down scene by scene by scene by scene.
Frank is like, poor Sam has nothing better to do with their time. And we need better episodes for Sam to watch over 10 times over.
While Sam pours wine into with her Kool-Aid.
With her Pinot Grigio.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's get some Pinot Grigio next time. I'm totally done with that.
But we all appreciate you giving us the opportunity to talk about shows, whether it's Riverdale or any of the other shows that we cover as well. So thanks for watching us, giving a chance to talk about the shows that we love and you love, and keeping enjoying our shows.
Thank you, guys.
Yay.
All right, so folks, as we're getting wrapped up, I think it's hot takes on our class president, Woo! Class clown.
All right,
Sam, it's been a while since you've been around. Let's go to you first.
Yes,
class president, class clown.
I will say my class president is Tony, 100%.
Wow,
love Tony. Class clown. I think. Quite honestly, it might be FP for just not knowing what the heck he's doing as a sheriff.
He did knock out that Fizzle Rocks tweaker with one punch, though.
He's struggling.
I don't know. I like FP.
Getting old. I like FP too.
My class president is FP's son.
Jughead.
I'm not going to name him.
No, in honor of FP, who we're taking an epic dump on right now, his son. The fruit of his loins.
Yes.
Class prez. Jughead knowing the things. For knowing all of the similarities and whether or not it could be a copycat. Good job. Good job, Jones.
I will second that, though, because I think, you know, as much as we love Sheriff Keller, who are now boxing coach Keller, we never really got to see him be that competent on any of the stuff in the earlier seasons. And I feel like FP has been at least somewhat competent this season.
Yeah, I feel guilty now, but I'm still going to stand my ground.
No worries. All right,
legit. And I'll say that the class clown is Betty for locking her mom in her bang bunker and then just being like, all right, I'll let you go now. And like, she just caught a lizard in the forest and then let it free. quite odd, the whole thing. I'm just like, and then just like, oh, hold on, it's my dad. Just nonchalant. And everyone's like, you mean the Black Hood serial killer who's just giving you a jingle jangle on your celly? Like, get it together, Betty. What are you doing?
Class clown might be this episode. I am just saying.
All right.
Sorry.
I am going to give my class president to Archie Andrews. Which is a shocker, I know. But because he was looking good tonight, and of all the characters, he was the least irritating for once. And he didn't do drugs, so say no to drugs, kids. And then for class clown, I'm going to give it to the writers of Riverdale.
Oh, ouch.
Ooh, very nice. Outside the box thinking there, Zach. I like it.
Class clown or that girl who kept smacking her head against the locker.
Oh, ouch.
She's an idiot.
That looks
painful because there was like a big dent in that locker.
I'm a big supporter of Riverdale, even the bad episodes. I have always loved this show. Maybe it's because of the time that we waited between the last episode and this one. I had higher expectations, but... This really, I really hope they step it up because it made me sad. I did not like it.
You know, I'll give my, going with Zach's outside the box thinking, I'll give my class president to the lady that was working at the Maple Club that called FP. Because so often you get that card and the cop gets it to you and you're like, I'm never going to call a cop. I can't trust a cop.
But Laura.
She called him. Yeah, Laura came through.
Shout out to Laura the whore.
That's right. She saw something was wrong and she stepped up to do something about it.
Laura.
And, you know, I guess my class clown, I can't argue with Betty. You know, it's, you know, She just went about it all wrong.
Big old turd in a bunker.
But her heart was in the right place.
It was. Betty's heart is always in the right place. Also, shout out Big Face Hundreds. Is Jellybean going to be saved? Is she going to be okay?
Oh, I'm sure she's going to be
fine. I mean, I think so. Unless somebody eats her on Easter, I think she's going to be fine.
Oh. I mean, she's a child, so I care. But otherwise, like, I don't really care. Because
I really care
showed...
because she was playing some fun board games, and I'm down with her style.
But the thing, as we're getting ready to wrap up, the thing with Jellybean is she comes into town with Gladys saying, like, oh, yeah, we're going to take over this town. You know, you're going to be running FB. We never saw Jellybean do really anything.
No. She just drank some coffee and then was like, I'm going to Pops to play my Dungeons & Dragons, and also I'm wearing elf ears for it.
What if Jellybean
But not even Dungeons & Dragons. It was made up because you can't play D&D with two people.
Folks, we have come to an end. But, you know, the complaining never stops.
Sorry.
Folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. And if you want to follow any of us on Twitter, continue the conversation, share your gripes, hear our gripes. Zach, where can they find you?
You can follow me all over the internet at Just Plain Zach. I got lots of thoughts. The ones in your head, not the ones on Instagram.
Thoughts with a G-H.
G-H, yes.
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan.
I'm Sam Davidson. You can find me at SamD43 Twitter and Instagram. And thank you all for listening to my gripes. And I hope I like it better next week. See you then.
Yeah, folks, follow me on the Twittergram at HappyGoJackie. We'll be back next Sunday. Yeah, maybe. What? We'll be back next Sunday, but the show won't be. Then we'll come back on Wednesday for another episode of the Riverdale After Show. We hope you join us right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.